Beloved, we are privileged tonight to have with us an awesome man of God, the man of this moment. Amen. That God has raised up at such a time as this. Let your hearts be open. Let's just open our hearts right now. Lord, here I am, God. I'm ready to receive from you tonight. Let our hearts be open to receive from God tonight the all that he has deposited in. In fact, let's make a demand. Make your demand on heaven right now. God, lift up prayer for Apostle Arome Osai right now. Lord, we're making a demand on the grace, on the anointing, on the man of God. Lord, we're asking you to use him like never before. We're asking you to pour out your spirit upon his life like never before. We're asking for a release like never before in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit of the living God, rest upon your servant like never before, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please put your hands together and welcome to the platform. Apostle Arome Osai.
We thank you for what you're doing in Birmingham. How that you are penetrating the atmosphere, placing the stamp of your presence in this land. How that you are filling up the vessels that are before you, so that from among us you can raise men and women of authority that will challenge the gates of darkness over families, over the territory, and establish and entrench your government and your kingdom. I pray tonight that it might please you to stretch forth your hand over every functionary that is in your presence tonight and equip them with your power, with your grace, with your spirit, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome once again. Can you welcome somebody to the conference? Something is opening over the city of Birmingham. In the name of Jesus. All right, turn your Bible to the book of Luke chapter 10. Chapter 10. Amen. Luke chapter 10. We'll do Bible study for about 40 minutes. Then we'll begin to pray. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and every place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Hallelujah. There is a quiet word in verse 1 that I would like us to consider. Because the scripture says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. The word also is a common ground of comparison. It means he sent them the same way he sent them previously. So if we want to understand the proceedings of how he sent them this time, we'll need to check how he sent them forth before. Because the Bible says he sent them also in the same way, in the same manner. So if you go to the book of Luke chapter 9, you are going to see how he sent them forth previously. And it's the same way he was sending them forth in chapter 10. 9 verse 1, the Bible says, then he called his 12 disciples together and give them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece, and whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. These were the marching orders that Jesus gave his functionaries that he was sending out into towns and villages. And before he sent any functionary out, he equipped them with kingdom tools, namely power and authority. Because in order for you to do anything significant for the kingdom, you must be functioning with the kingdom tools. Now, it is needful for us to understand the context of my message. My message is within a certain context. It is possible for us to view the church of Jesus, for instance, from the eternal perspective. It is possible for us to view the church from the global perspective. It is possible for us to view the church from the organic perspective. It is possible for us to view the church from function perspective. But the context here is territorial. So he was equipping them for territorial engagement because he was sending them to towns and where? To villages, to places like London, places like Birmingham. And he felt that they'll be ineffective without kingdom tools. Hallelujah. You see, the territorial scope of things is quite delicate because you are domiciled in a certain context. Many of you go to work. You visit the market. You move around town. You see, the objective of a kingdom man that is domiciled in a city, in a locality, is to extend the influence of Christ in that locality. And Jesus is saying that you are going to be totally ineffective. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't tell us the ground rules. The only allergy that my anointing suffers is the ringtone. Now, if you are so careless that your phone rings here, you become the preacher for the night because I'm going to step down quietly and take my Bible and sit down. Then you will come and use your ringtone to give the miracles that people are expecting. Hallelujah. Stay with me. So the context here is territorial. When God sends a man into a territory, you need the equipment of the power of God to prosecute the counsel of God within that context. Now, follow me and I'll show you. My volume is too much. Just reduce it. Hallelujah. Few things that I need to show you. First of all, the first assembly of men that Jesus sent forth were 12. Second of all, the mode of sending was 2 by 2. Thirdly, there was an affinity that what Jesus gave them had to do with diseases. Fourthly, what Jesus gave them had something to do with taking over authority from demons. There were two omissions in this sending parade. Two omissions. The first omission was, are you with me? Jesus did not consider the differences in the terrain. See, the first time I came into the United Kingdom, I came to preach in London. And I have a gift. I have a gift from God. And the gift will enable me to be able to scan the environment to see how much of penetration can be achieved in that locality. And when I came into London, I was taken to the hotel, and I lifted up my hands to pray, and I hit an iron wall. And I hit the iron wall after 1 hour. I hit it after 2 hours. I hit it after 3 hours. I hit the iron wall after 8 hours. It was after 12 hours that the atmosphere had loosened. Making London the strongest city I've ever preached in my life. Meanwhile, I've been to places where people speak for Satan, where Satan speaks without a medium. And the atmosphere was not as terrible as what I found in London. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus did not consider the differences in terrain when he was sending these people, because there are some territories that are lighter than others. Oh, I hope you know that your territory here is damn thick, damn thick. There is a priesthood that is going on in this city that is antichrist. And the priest that is doing, that is responsible for that priesthood, is very educated in the ways of darkness. It's in the night from 12 midnight to 2 a.m. that we make such discoveries. As terrible as a terrain that has an active demonic priesthood is, Jesus did not consider the variable of terrain when he was deploying this functionary. And meanwhile, it's a very, very, very important point to consider. Never took it into consideration. The second thing Jesus did not put into consideration was the level of maturity of the disciples that he was sending for. Because I know from experience that if you, even though you are a carrier of light, you contend with someone that is more educated and more submitted to darkness than you are to light, in that day, darkness will triumph over light. I know that, practically. Jesus did not add the variable of differences in maturity into the factors that should be considered in this is sending the enterprise. Are you with me? I still remember when we were on campus, when we were in the university. We were burning for God. There were many things we didn't know, but God used us. You don't need to know too much. You just need to know how to yield to God. And that's why he did not consider their maturity. Jesus wants to give you the opportunity to learn as you go, if you are going to be yielded to him. The only issue here is yieldedness and obedience. You will learn the ropes as you go. Oh my. The moment Satan knows that you have some weapons that can do damage to his kingdom, he will bring some of his products around you and entice you to see if your loyalty to Jesus is stronger than the products that he has on display. Because Satan would like to resolve the battle without a fight by compromising the functionary. He doesn't like fights because he doesn't really succeed with fights. So the moment it is you are identified to be the person that God is going to be using the terrain, he looks for other ways to negotiate. And he has a lot of products in Birmingham. Hallelujah. Amen. So he will send a few, just like a remote control. An LG remote control cannot change the channel of a Samsung television. And so if he brings a product that you are not compatible with, it has no influence over your life. But once something on your soul finds compatibility with the products that he makes available, he will change your channel.
And for the next 5 years, you will be on a race for vanity. Jesus did not consider the maturity of the functionaries that he was dispatching. He did not consider the differences in the terrain, the hard grounds, the soft grounds. That means Jesus must have confidence in some of the tools he was making available. And he was confident in the compliance of his functionaries, that they might be weak on the field, but they will yield to his spirit. The strong man is not the man that boasts. He's not the man that has biceps. He's a man that knows how to yield quickly. Because when you yield, you have decided to shut down the resources of your flesh so that he can have opportunity to manifest the resources of his spirit. Please help me tell your neighbor, in the flesh, you attend to your least potential. But in the spirit, you attend to your greatest potential. So Jesus, the first time he dispatched men, he dispatched 12 of them. Are you still with me? Because today he wants to dispatch a few people. When we come back for the apostolic conference next year, we'll hear your testimony, whether you survived. What happened after the conference? We'll gather all the feedback by this time next year, by the grace of God. Then you realize that God doesn't need a strong man. He doesn't need a strong woman. He just needs a yielded man and a yielded woman. A yielded person is someone that acknowledges that the flesh profits nothing. So he doesn't want to experiment anymore. He knows he's already judged that the flesh has no profit to give. So it's not about to try in the flesh. He's looking for ways to be more pliable in the hands of the Holy Ghost. Looking for ways to be more yielded to the Holy Ghost so that the Holy Ghost can find occasion through his life to rise up like a warrior in the land. This is the potential that every believer has to become a conduit pipe through which God can come into the territory. It is to this end that God gives power and authority. So there was a spiritual ceremony that took place here. It was a dispatch exercise, and functionaries were being released. The devil was going to suffer loss because for the first time, Jesus had prepared people to a level where he had confidence enough to send them to represent him. And these guys were going to cities and towns that Jesus himself intends to come subsequently. Are you with me? You are not with me. Because you are not with me, I need to open another scripture to explain what I mean by that. So let's go to Psalms 24. I need to show you your job. Before you ask for power, before you ask for authority, you need to know your job. They were going to herald the kingdom of God. Jesus was going to come into the territories that he was sending them to go before him. Their lives and ministries should create a spark that points to Jesus. So that when Jesus eventually shows up, the territory will be a walkover. That means you'll be the instrument through which Jesus will receive worship and memory. Are you there in the book of Psalms 24? Please help me tell your neighbor, the Lord is not looking for the strong, he's looking for the yielded. Help me tell your neighbor again, Satan will test you. He will test you with his products. Test you with fornication. Test you with women. Test you with bribes and money. If you believe that Jesus is more precious to you than all the products of the devil will find it difficult to change your channel. There are several people that came to Birmingham with fire. They were looking for an occasion to explode, and Satan changed their channel for 16 years. They are running after something. They are operating on another channel now. And God needs to rescue them through your life in the name of Jesus. May the devil not succeed in changing your... I know there is. You are not saying amen. We'll get your testimony. Next year, we'll find out whether your channel was changed to black and white. Somewhere close to where I stay, in the woods, a missionary came to preach the gospel. And he tested the soil and found out it was so fertile. Wow. He left the ministry and became an agriculturist. Started shipping things from the countryside. Became very influential financially, but the devil had changed his channel. That was not why he didn't come there for agriculture. Jesus sent him and gave him power, gave him authority. He used the power to. All right. Hey, the Lord will help. He will help us quickly this evening in the name of. Maybe there are some of you that came with a burden from Africa, from Congo. It's 12 years now, and you've been chasing shadows. You just realize that it's 12 years yesterday. We are here to reconfigure you back to the original channel. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Psalm 24, quickly. Psalm 24. How desperately the Lord is looking for functionaries that will herald his kingdom. I saw how structured your city is. So structured. We have communities, we have even your churches are structured. The Congo church, the Nigerian church, the Ghanaian church, it's so structured along national lines. We are trusting God for an interfacing. Yes, cross-pollination. So that each strand of God's army can drink into the line of grace that have been established in a certain community. Until we become more one with each other, our battle against the dominion of darkness will be futility. In the book of Psalms 24, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, does not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Jump to verse 7, which is my emphasis. Verse 7. Now, stay with me before we do. Once upon a time, we wanted to obtain a landed property for ministry purposes. And because of this troublesome nature of my city, if you want to acquire a land so that you not end up in court, you need to go to the aspect of government that deals with lands and surveying of lands, so that you can know who truly owns the land. Because someone can masquerade and claim to be the owner of a land, and then when you have paid money, you need to go to court for 12 years to get. You'll be old by the time you get justice. So there is an arm of government that is called lands and survey. All right? Psalms 24 is lands and survey. It's trying to reveal to us who owns the earth. And not just the earth, but the earth and its content. And so the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's, just in case you are confused. And I'll tell you why we had to visit lands and survey before, as a premise
of engaging Psalms 24. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right. So the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Because in Nigeria, the law says you own the land. But if oil is found in the land, the oil belongs to government. Just in case you are from Nigeria, this is the constitution from heaven. God owns the land and he owns the content. It's not Nigerian. You understand that? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and them that dwell therein. Verse 2 gives us additional insight. Additional insight to establish that God is the owner of the earth. He reveals to us how God designed the earth. How God created the earth. He founded it upon the floods. Are you with me? Now listen. We want quiet in the room. If there is any child that is not quiet, just go out with the child for now. The Bible says that God founded it upon the floods. That's the design. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He established it upon the seas. That's the design. And the implication of that is that the earth has no true foundations. And so if you dig deep enough, you will hit water. And that's the principle behind your borehole. For those of you in engineering, you know that one of the major hurdles against construction is water. You will need to do sand filling. You need to raise a bridge. You need to do something because there is an accumulation of water. God deliberately designed the earth in such a way that there is an engineering flaw because he did not intend it to continue forever. He founded it upon the seas. Are you with me? You are not here. You are not here. You are not here. You are not with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. He founded it upon the seas. He established it upon the flood. Right? Then the next verse is a question. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? The hill of the Lord is the only place in the earth that has true foundation. I was expecting a list of people. I was expecting a list like Lawson. Doc, what's your name? I was expecting a list like Obina, like Dennis. It wasn't a list that was mentioned there, but character traits of men. These character traits are the description of kingdom men. People that have embraced the value system of the kingdom of God. He that has clean hands, right? And a pure heart. That has not lifted up his soul to vanity. There's so much vanity in your city. There's so many platforms that darkness has to sway your heart away from God. And for some of you, just because you have education, PhD, you believe you are better than the next person sitting by your side. The vanity of knowledge has taken over your soul. In that state, you are no match for the devil. Because you have confidence in something that is not Christ. You are not with me. I know you are not with me. But with time, you will get me. With time. So the Lord walks on men that represent him. Because we have lost a lot of functionaries to darkness. They started out as people that were raised to bring about a change. And then suddenly, their soul lusted after something that was vain. It means they did not understand the reality of Christ. Because if you have touched the reality of Christ, you will know that this world has nothing to give. If these matters are not settled in your soul, you will still dance before an idol without knowing it. And the first likely idol that you will dance before is yourself.
Hallelujah. He that has clean hands. When I was in the oil industry, I had, in my nation, I had the opportunity to run 5 deals in dollars. 5 deals a month. And I was there for 4 years. I had no car. No mobility. By choice. Because it was easier for me to get by with public transportation. You know Lagos now. It's you know, driving in Lagos is you become schizophrenic driving in Lagos. So it's better for you to use public. And I don't mind. I used public transport for 7 years. I had money to buy a vehicle, but it wasn't needed. Those were the days when they were constructing in Lagos. Do you know those days? So you know it's not. You just become, Parkinson's disease will become your portion. I had the opportunity to do deals that would have made me the richest man in Benue State. But God will not use one that doesn't understand his commitment to the Lord enough for him to have clean hands. So what I'm saying is that the opportunity for you to defy yourself will be readily available, just like it is in Birmingham. But a kingdom functionary that is going to go in the name of the Lord must have to settle some matters before he can be useful to God. And I want you to know that you are not the first person that God is hoping to use. Because many people went in the name of the Lord and served other things. The devil was able to change their channel. Number two, when I was on the field, because for 11 years I was on the field, I only stayed with my wife for 2 years. We were together for 2 years. And then they started posting me randomly. And you can't be moving the children. No, you need to look for a place and settle down, and then you move alone. I hope you know the danger of that kind of arrangement. When the people see that you don't take bribe, you can't be compromised, then they'll send big women your way. Very big ones. And the Lord give you understanding. Then your heart will be put to the test. If you love Jesus enough to say no to the products of the devil. And I need to tell you something. Faith is not only the currency with which we receive things. Faith is also a currency by which you can reject things. The manifestation of the faith of Moses was that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Not fearing the king. For he endured because he had seen him who is invincible. So your heart will be put to the test. I saw all kinds of women that they wanted me to have. So that if they can get you in the area of women, then you become part of them. For 7 years, that did not work. And I didn't know that that was Bible school training. The Lord was training me for ministry. I was in the heart of the oil industry. Are you with me? 11 years I was not at home. Imagine you marry a man and for 11 years he's not at home. You will leave. That's why you need to hear God before you marry. If you are convinced that this is where I'm supposed to be, you will know that this is part of your destiny. That is why, yes. I told my wife, I don't promise you anything. That's when I was telling her. In fact, my proposal was, I am interested, but say no. I'm interested, but say no. That's my, and we never repeated that issue. And then she came and said yes. I said, all right. Now that you said yes, it will no longer be my responsibility to encourage you as we go. There are battles ahead, there are challenges. But one thing I assure you, I will never touch any woman till I die. That was the only woman I proposed to. Never proposed to anyone before that woman. Yes. Never knew any woman before that one. And for 11 years, I can count how many times we met. Somebody say, wow.
Oh, you want power? You want power to go to the train station and say, hallelujah. And the cripple will walk. I'm telling you how. I'm telling you how it works.
Hallelujah. Because I was not willing to play ball, I fell out of favor with a lot of influential people in different quarters. And you know the result of that, your promotion will be delayed. You'll be posted to places that are dangerous, where you will meet evil people. Your life will be at stake. That was where God made his hand strong over my life. The things that men will do to you to ensure that you are crippled will become the same platform that God will use to make you strong. How many of you know Northeastern Nigeria? You have heard of Boko Haram? How many of you have heard of? Okay, that's where they posted me for 4 years to go and die. Right there at the edge of the desert where the bandits were dwelling. In those places, God showed me his strength. We penetrated the north with the gospel. The kind of places you will never go. I was circulating through those places for 4 years. Why? Let me give you an idea. Now, the kind of job I did was on demand. You see, what I mean by on demand was suddenly our refineries in our nation became obsolete and they could only provide 18% of our national consumption. So our crude oil is brought to Europe to refine and is brought back to our nation. And that accounts for 87% of our consumption. So we are inventory experts. We need to go on the vessels and fiscalize and know the quantity of product that will be coming in. And then the smaller vessels will be picking those products. A mighty mother vessel that is 10 times bigger than this house will be somewhere on the ocean. Then the smaller ones will be picking from it for 1 month and a half to the storage facilities where loading would take place and all of that. We're generating all kinds of statistics. So this is it. You will never know when a small vessel is coming to your own corridor. And I was a preacher. So I would go to the Holy Ghost and say, should I go preaching this weekend? He said, go. And nothing will come. Should I go next weekend? No. Something will come. I did that for 7 years and he didn't miss once. I don't think that's funny. That's where I got the mastery of the voice of God that I was showing you yesterday. I didn't get it in Bible school. I got it in the oil industry. Oh, you're not with me. I know you don't like someone telling you the truth. You like, for God so loved the world. Hallelujah. Amen. The days for this kind of message are past. This is what we preached until the devil took over your city. So it's time for us to wake up. For 7 years. In the sixth year, I had a friend on the platform where they were loading. So he was giving me intelligence. One day he said, nothing is coming to your place. And when I was dressing to go for crusade, the Holy Ghost said, don't leave. Oh. So I went back and something came. It was meant for somewhere else and then they diverted it. So on paper, it was there, but in reality, it wasn't. That was when I stopped receiving intelligence from my friend on the platform. Because the intelligence I had was superior to what he could give me. The only time it failed was when I was in Enugu. And they sent me, I received a text message before I just mounted the podium. It is a national sin for you not to be there when the vessel comes. You know what happened? I went and preached. When I switched on the phone, they were fighting. They fought till I came back. When I came back, I said, that was how it happened. They fought for 3 days. So when I finished my crusade and came back, I came to separate. I said, what actually happened here? It was an angel causing problem. That was the only time he failed, and there was no work. And I was still the savior. I even got commendation from settling the fight. I learned it on the field, not on the mission field. Where you are you a man of God? Are you a representative of Christ, or you are just there working for yourself, earning salary? That's what you are doing. It's about you. It's about yourself. It's about what you can get. That's why you keep fighting, because you have not gone for the Lord. You keep fighting. There are health conditions because you are living for yourself. When you switch and you start living for Him, He will take care of your health. I went to preach in a crusade. I was sick, but the people didn't know. They see the preacher is coming. The evangelist is... I was so sick. In fact, while I was preaching, I said, Hallelujah! And I became blind for some seconds. And when I was like this, they thought I was gauging to get their anointing. I was dying on the book. At the end of the day, when I finished preaching, I couldn't move. They now moved me. And I went and laid down and said, Jesus, is this how I will die? Then I slept. Then in my dream, He came and said, who told you you would die? All I ask you to do is to follow me. And I woke up. Yes. If you are truly following Him and there's a challenge, He will appear to you. Because you are not doing what you are doing at your own expense. Someone said to you. But you have gone to your place of work and you are there just to earn salary, to take your son to school. And then you have programmed his path. And that's what you are living for. You are empty. You are empty. We have so many empty people that are just covering the space. God is looking for kingdom people that He can send to the platform to represent His interest and to bring the sovereignty of His power on that platform. The United Kingdom lacks a very bold representative of the kingdom. Everything here is measured. It's as if some people are afraid of something. Everyone is afraid.
Two weeks before I was becoming manager, write an exam. After which, we'll now go to the management level. Well, we'll have a big table. You know those big tables with the chair that we don't be lying on. Yeah. 2 weeks before that time, the best man came and said, resign.
What? What?
So you get me. My colleague said I was mad that an evil spirit has come in my life. I was responding to Jesus. You want power? You want authority? You want Jesus to respond when you pray?
You will live for Him, not live for yourself. If my colleagues had known my wife, they would have come to visit her and tell her, leave this man. He's not normal. Because when he's supposed to start enjoying, he's saying he's leaving the job. And my colleagues know, if it's an exam, if we need to write an exam, it doesn't matter where you schooled. I'm likely to beat you. You schooled in Oxford, thank you. But if we sit together to write an exam, I'm not sure. So it was obvious that I will pass. But the great one didn't allow me to sit for it. I said, what if I just become manager, then I resign? It's to your glory. Don't claim to have the capacity to advise Jesus. Who shall ascend into the hill of God? That's the question. And who shall stand in His holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart and has not lifted up his soul to vanity nor sworn deceitfully.
has vanity taken your soul? And you are in a vicious circle. We went to buy a bag because I needed a very good bag for my Bible, my computer, and all of that. So we found some online, and then we traced the boutique where we could get the bag, and we got there. Very beautiful place. I found so many good things, but I came for a bag. And when I found the bag, the best of the bags that I was looking for, I found it there. So we paid cash. And the lady behind the counter felt we had money. Said, what are you doing this Friday? She doesn't know that we are possessed with Jesus. You're asking the wrong person. These ones are dead to all this kind of stuff. So we didn't answer her. Because we are dead. Ooh. Jesus took food away from me for a very long time. So that a time will come where my appetite for food cannot stand in the way of my service to Jesus. He left me in the wilderness for long. So that the only thing I'll be used to is the reading of his voice. He refused that I should read books. Apart from my textbooks in school, you know, all those things. I said, okay, this man of God wrote this. No. There were only few authors I read till today. Men like Watchman Nee, their books. Kept me in that place. And I read his book, a lot of his books, but if I bring this author to God, say, throw that book away. So he allowed me to be measured. There is a content, a fragrance that he wanted to come out of my life. And he was jealous about it. Jealous. Any small departure from the training line and I will lose my peace big time. And go and beg him for weeks before he will restore it. His hand was too strong. Because when you go to stand for him, many things will come to seek to try your soul. We are in the end time. The devil will stop at nothing. Nothing. To get the attention of the people that claim to be running for God. I just pray you have not lost your calling. I pray you didn't choose something else in place of your calling. I pray that you did not take a plate of porridge. I just pray so. Because don't think God cannot be mocked, you know. Don't think you can play according to your rules and then get God's best, which is the major deception that is in the body of Christ right now. People don't want to live for God, but they want God to help them. Meanwhile, the reason for substitution is that Jesus decided to take your place in judgment so that you can live his life upon the face of the earth. That's the metrics behind substitution. You don't want to live that life. You want to live your own life. You don't like government. You don't like God to prescribe for you. You make all your choices for yourself, and then you're expecting God to come and endorse. No, he will not endorse. In fact, the areas, those aspects of your life that you chose for yourself, you will have to use your wisdom to sustain it. Unfortunately, that's the truth. I hope you know I'm not a pastor. I'm not a pastor, so I don't know how to say things the way the pastor will say it. You'll be feeling great. No, I am called to raise a cantonment for Jesus. So I tell you the way it is. Your soul might find it so difficult, but your spirit will be sweet. It will be sweet inside. Even though it's hard, you will know this man loves you. Because deception will waste your life. Deception will waste your life. So those are the kind of people that will make it to the hill of the Lord. Guess what? When you now arrive the hill of the Lord, Jesus will now send you. You remember the first verse of Psalms 24? The earth is the Lord, fullness thereof. The world and them that dwell therein. Remember that? The reason why that scripture must come into view is because of verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Now, this verse 7, if we read it in context with verse 1, now, you see, your plane is not the problem. You are using the wrong sound. So change it. Look for, this is not the sound. This is not what I'm hearing, okay? So look for it. You are called into the music ministry. I'm not called. So it means you interpret your ministry from here. So if it's not synchronizing, you are not there. You are not there. Hallelujah. Follow me. You are not with me. Don't claim that you are called into the music ministry when you can't prove. No. You must know it. Say, hey, what are you looking for? I don't know. I can't explain to you, but I know it in the spirit. So find it, because you have the calling. You are the one called there. If you ask me to bring the sound of the Lord from the scriptures, just wait for me to sleep. When I wake up, say, bring the sound. I will bring it, because I have a calling. Grace operates along that area. I will tell you what God is saying at that time, because there's grace to support it. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says these functionaries that have ascended to the hill of the Lord, the Bible says that they were sent forth before Jesus to confront the gates of the territories. The context of that scripture is territorial, because it began by saying the earth is the Lord. So in Psalms 24 verse 7, the gates that were spoken about there were gates to territories. That's the Old Testament version of Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10, where I just read. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. You are not with me. You are not with me. It means most of you didn't pray before you came here. You just came with your jeans and said, let's just check this guy out. Let's check him out. Amen. Let's check him out. We came here for you to recover your calling quickly. We didn't come here to check you out. Recover your calling and repent for drifting away from the original covenant you made with God before you came here. You just came and said, oh! You know, those days when we were in public service in Nigeria, we sent some of the members of our union to the headquarters of our country to go negotiate things like our conditions of service. Do you know that kind of stuff? Our union leaders went to the best hotel in our country and snapped like this. And you know the caption of the picture, living the life. We sent you to fight for us and you are living the life there. I hope you are not living the life. God sent you into the territory. You came to Birmingham and you said, oh, we are living the life now. Because your soul has fed of vanity, has found a place. God is looking. He's looking out for that functionary that will rise from this conference and say, this is why I came. So the question is this, are you the one who is to come? So we wait for the generation of your children. Because God has all of eternity to wait, and you don't have all of time. So he can wipe all of us out and raise our children. It's a privilege to be numbered in him, and I will never be ashamed of him till I die. No nation, no government will be able to stop me from proclaiming the kingdom, the power, and the glory. This was why I was apprehended in Jesus Christ. And this will be the mission that I will serve all the days of my life. These functionaries that have found the hill of the Lord were the ones that Jesus sent to confront the gates. And there are three metaphors I need to introduce you to. When you see gates, it talks about authorities. When you see windows, it talks about blessings. When you see doors, it talks about opportunities. So these guys were going to confront the authorities of the territory. This kind of apostolic sending that Jesus was doing, he was sending people to confront the authorities that held the territories. And that was why he could not send them naked. He had to give them
equipment. He had to give them power and authority. Because you are going to meet the authorities of darkness. The chieftains of Hades will confront you. But if you have the tools, you can send them to obedience. You cannot do kingdom business. Extend the frontiers of the influence of Christ outside of the utensils that Jesus makes available. Listen to me. This is the 12th time. I'm hearing there are people here that have left their calling. If he says it 12 times, those people are not less than 12 in this congregation. Left their calling. Left the covenant they made with God. Came here to study, hoping that if God should support them, that they will serve him, and they are veered off. More than 12 people. And these people are expecting that God will establish their homes and give them miracles and settle them in. They are still asking God for more help. Meanwhile, the first help he made available to them, they veered off and began to do their own thing and to live the lie. You see, many people, many of us think that God is daft, that he doesn't remember. So we come to him at our own convenience. I say, well, if you give me food to eat, and you ensure that I succeed here, and I pass this examination, get a house in the city center, and you bring to me a damsel fair to look upon, then I will consider. You'll be in that your limbo until the Antichrist comes, because he will leave you behind, just like he has left so many people behind now. And I can tell you about the continent of Africa, because I've been watching that continent for a long time. He has left so many people. I don't know about your place here. Maybe by next year ending, I'll be able to tell you about your place. How many of you have lost the wind? How many of you are in darkness? And if God doesn't show mercy, you will never find your path. You'll be in that state of confusion because you refused him when he wanted someone to send. It's a great privilege for you to be sent. Because when you are sent, he says you don't need to take scrip. You don't need to take the next coin, the next pound. A laborer is worthy of his hire. I will show you marvelous and miraculous ways by which I supply to support the people that carry my interest before their face. So he said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your heads, ye authorities. Be lifted up, ye ancient authorities that have manipulated territories, because the King of Glory is coming. These disciples were to be sent forth to cities and to countrysides where Jesus himself will come. This was the message. Lift up your heads, ye authorities, because there is a monarch that is coming. You will not survive him. So I advise you in your own interest, be gone now. You can go easily. You can go cheaply and avoid a bout. The King of Glory is coming. And I tell you, Birmingham, the King of Glory approaches your city steps. There are functionaries among you that the Lord will bless in the days to come. There are pastors, ministers among you that the Lord is going to galvanize. Many were sent ahead of you, whose souls were overtaken by the vanity of your city. Many were released to proclaim the light and the kingdom and the glory of God that departed and were not faithful to the calling. He comes again to your city steps, and he comes to strengthen, he comes to empower, because he wants a witness within the territory. A witness that is so strong and so bright that them that dwell in darkness will see the mighty illumination, and it will be clear where God is. Men will navigate because God will be attractive
in his glory that he will bring upon the territory. Lift up your heads. Lift up your heads. And be thou lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Because, guess what? When the heralds went forth and challenged the authorities wanted to know who the King of Glory was. They so we've been here long, for a long time. Nobody ever challenged us. So who is this King of Glory? We don't know. The heralds continued. They said it's called the Lord of Hosts. That means he doesn't travel alone. He travels with a host. He comes with a company. He comes with a legion. And nothing will be able to resist him. In this day, God wants to travel into cities. I'm talking about, you will find nations like India, some of the most powerful men of Christ will rise from such nations. Nations that you have not heard of in the news for a long time. Nations that when you hear about them, it's about diseases, about corruption. Nations like Nigeria, some terrible kingdom men will rise up, and Satan will not be able to do anything about them. Yes, because I've seen the flames. I saw a tributary of that flame. It touched the nation of India. I saw a tributary from that flame. It touched some nations in Africa, 5 nations in Africa. Then I saw it coming to Europe. God is about to witness to the entire globe. People like Bob Jones, before they died, they prophesied that a time is going to come that within the space of 10 years, 1 billion people will come to Jesus Christ. Not preach Jesus to for 1 year. You've been working on computers and you think that's why you are here. You are here to work on computers. You are here to marry. That's the reason why he saved you, so that you can marry a fair woman. It's all about you. You can't see beyond you. And one of the things that God will have to do is to deliver you from you, so that you can see what he wants to do in the land. Because these guys were called and they were going for Jesus, not going for themselves. They were going for Jesus. They were going for Jesus. You know what? When you begin to go for Jesus, you will begin to solve your own problems. All of us have problems. But he steps into your situation when if it is clear that you are there for him. Are you running for yourself and then trying to use God to solve your problem? You will never find it. You always have problems. You will be on the prayer line forever. There will always be an ache, an infirmity, a pain, a loss. Something is broken. But when you give up yourself, I say, where do you want me to go? And you begin to go. Then he will raise men for you. He will cause your face to shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say, hallelujah. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place whither he himself will come. Hallelujah. The first time it was 12 men he sent. The second time it was 70 men. And you would think that Jesus would have said, the ministry is enlarging. Last time I had this exercise, I sent 12 people. Now we've expanded. We have the capacity to send 70. I was expecting to say something like that. Instead of saying that, what he said is that, oh, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He was heartbroken. He was not rejoicing. Somebody is not hearing me. What I'm saying is this. Jesus was not looking for seating capacity. He was looking for sending capacity. For how long have you been sitting? He's not looking for you. He's
He's looking for people that he can send to the territories. People that can overlook their own challenges and say, I go for you. That was why you apprehended me, so that I can be useful to you. I can endure to suffer lack, to suffer hunger, to suffer the loss of a job for a season. But I cannot stand you not having a man. I'm willing to go, even without my belt, without my trouser, without a new shoe, without a job in the bank. I'm willing to go. Just become that man that will go for him. Then you will see that the Lord will always do the best for the people that are set to go for him. When God lacks a man, there's darkness in the entire territory. I'm talking about sending capacity, not sitting capacity, not warming the pews, not coming and expecting you to be ministered to, but expecting that a time will come when you begin to minister to people. You become the center of a civilization that God plants among the people. You become the reason why a revival begins to come into your family. And all the rolling stones in your family begin to come back into alignment. And instead of them to receive demons, they receive the Holy Ghost. Just because a man was ready to stand and to bear witness and to show the way and to sacrifice, so that everybody can see that the center of this man's life is Christ. And you know, people are not daft. If you are for God, they know. If you are just a rolling stone, they know. They know. If you are really for God and you are ready to be spent and ready to spend, he will give you authority to stand for. He will cause you to have capacity to bear witness of his resurrection. I see your cities and how so many people claim that human intelligence is a reason for existence. That is the Adamic dominion. That's the dominion in Acts, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. It's Adamic. It's the Adamic kind of dominion mandate that is responsible for the skyscrapers that you see. You don't need Jesus to raise those skyscrapers. You need engineering. And there is an aspect of the Adamic mandate, the dominion that is associated with Adam, that can find expression in the visible landscape. So you see nations like China build all kinds of stuff, all kinds of systems without Jesus. And many of us think that's what success is. There is another level of dominion which comes from the Spirit of God. And the Adamic cannot operate in that. It is through that dominion that Jesus, it is because of that dominion that Jesus apprehends you. He calls you and me. We are the only evidence that that level of dominion exists. The kind of dominion that he wanted to manifest in the book of Psalms 110. When he says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at thy right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. And the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. The rod of thy strength, the Holy Ghost, from Zion, God's administrative headquarters, to come into the earth with the mandate, rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. That's the second level of dominion. Rule. But only the Spirit of God can establish that through the vessel of a man. Because the next scripture says, thy people shall be willing. Now the Holy Ghost is going. There's going to be willingness from humankind to partner with the Holy Spirit so that that second level of dominion can come into the earth. It is that second level of dominion that Jesus is raising foot soldiers to dispatch into the nations of the world. No one that is Adamic can operate that dimension. It is through that level of dominion that the powers that hold the nation's bondage captive will lose their grip. And cities and nations will be able to fulfill their prophetic destiny. He wants to send you. I pray you will not go for yourself, but you will go for him. In the name of Jesus. So instead of Jesus to say, our ministry is increasing, He cried with a loud voice, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are what?" That's why he wants you and me. That's why he set up this conference, to release a clarion call, so that somebody that is lost in the jungle of Birmingham can hear again, "I remember, I made a vow. And for the past 5 years, I've forgotten it. I've been living like a vowless man. I'm in the forest of the United Kingdom, looking for what is not lost. I've forgotten who I am, because my soul was lifted to vanity." It will be a moment for you to recover yourself, so that you can stand again in the company of men that Jesus will be sending forth into the territory to bear witness of his resurrection. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And he gave us a prayer point. He said, "Pray ye." "Pray ye, the Lord of the harvest, that he might send laborers into his house." So we are going to pray that prayer point. When we begin to pray like that, then some people that are going in the direction of serving self and flesh, the hand of God will come on them suddenly. Because we beckoned on the Lord of the harvest to conscript men by sovereign power, by sovereign grace. He will descend upon men and bring them into the race. I pray that you will hear the sound of the trumpet, the clarion call that is in the spirit, that which God is saying to you and to me, that is looking for men that will herald his grace and his glory. Some of you came from families where your grandfather was a minister of the gospel, a missionary. Some of you, your parents, your father, your mom, an intercessor, died on her knees. And you are in Europe now, you want to be a rolling stone. So I'm just living the life, you know, just... No. The covenants he made in the spirit will haunt you. You'll never have any sound sleep. When you want to sleep like this, he will come and say, when are you coming back? It's in conferences like this you can repent. It will be a good moment for you to say, I remember where I'm coming from. The anthem of commitment that I've sang before you. Pledging allegiance to the Lamb. I remember it. So that he, even the Lord of the harvest, can send forth laborers. Laborers into the harvest. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I want to go into the lesson for the day. Everything we did was an introduction. And now we want to begin the lesson. And the lesson is in the book of Luke chapter 10. We'll begin from verse 70. Shine to men la hambre kuskabula.
Hallelujah. Luke chapter 10, verse 70. This is the testimony of the people that Jesus sent to the towns and the villages to proclaim his kingdom. The first thing the Bible says is that they all returned. Meanwhile, it's not everyone that left Egypt that entered into Canaan, but these ones went and they all returned. Irrespective of the fact that they had different levels of maturity, they all returned. Irrespective of the fact that they were entering into different terrains, they all returned. So the Bible says that the 70 returned again with joy. You will return. Because tonight, we are going to be sent for. By this time next year, we'll come back. And you will return. When we come back, we want to take inventory of what you have done for Jesus. Because you are supposed to be living here with a sent mentality, knowing that I am sent. If you know that you are sent, you will begin to see the weakness of cities, the weakness of your office, what you can take advantage of to represent Jesus, how you can speak for Jesus within your own context, because you know you are sent and you carry a sent mentality. A man with a sent mentality cannot be lost in the crowd. He knows why he woke up this morning. He knows the reason for which God had given him grace. He knows why he earned the last set of pounds. He knows the reason why God gave him the opportunities that he has been given. Because he goes around with a sent mentality. Many times when we give testimonies of new jobs, new opportunities, new levels of finances, we see it as a better life. You don't know that it's actually responsibility. It's because you are not sent that you see everything through the prism of self. You don't see your advantages, your promotions as an opportunity for the kingdom of God. May God deliver us from that self-centeredness in the name of Jesus. So the 70 returned. This was their testimony. Lord, even the demons, the devils, are subject unto us through your name. That's the first testimony. You know, are you with me? You're not with me. You know, in that scripture where we read in the book of Psalms 24, the people that were sent ahead of Jesus had to contend with the gates. And I told you that gates refer to authorities. Windows refer to blessings. Doors refer to opportunities. And I don't have time to explain all of that. An apostolic person should know gates. How to contend with gates. Should know, because when you have broken to a gate, the next thing that will open to you are windows and doors. Windows and doors are on the other side of gates. The blessings that you are looking for, that will make it easy for you to do the will of God. That job that you need that pays more and then it engages you less, so that you can have more time for prayer, more time to do the things that God has asked you to do. The windows will open. But it is only those that have the capacity to discern the purpose of the windows that will be able to deploy those windows for the purpose for which they came. If you can't discern those windows, you will lavish it on self. And then the devil will throw you into confusion many months later. And then your case will be worse than when you started. And you'll not know why. It's because you went on a parade of self. And you were not able to translate the windows that he opened in order for you to actualize the purpose for which you exist. May you not get suddenly lose the reason why you are in Birmingham, why you are in the United Kingdom. Every opportunity that opens to you is in keeping with that purpose. Why is it that people that Satan sends, they never lose sight of their mission? Never. They move with a sentimentality. If the devil sends somebody against you, the person will need to get employment where you work. Other jobs may be paying more, but the objective is you. So they will reject those jobs. It doesn't make sense. Huh? Because his sense needs to be around you. It needs to be the one that will be giving you coffee in the morning. You might think it's love. You don't know his sense. Looking for an occasion. Okay. If you go around with a scent mentality, you will see all the doors and the windows. But when you become blind and you are like you are in a forest, it means you have lost yourself. May you recover yourself in the name of Jesus Christ. Like I said, I'm not a pastor. You must have seen it. My wiring is not the wiring of a pastor. I don't speak like a pastor. If he comes now, he knows how to speak like a pastor. I run a cantonment, like I told you. You don't come to the barracks looking for love. Yeah. If you want to be trained on how to use your weapon, I can try. If you want to walk in the full scope of the anointing that God has given you to bring profit to the kingdom of God, that's my space. If you want to know how to bring down the black wall and break the cedars of Lebanon, I can help. But if you want to drink milk and say glory and run fat with obesity, you might need a pastor to be tapping you on the back. Hallelujah. A pastor to encourage you. No. That's not my. I've come to wake you up in the name of Jesus. What I'm teaching you, I taught my wife. When she said, I want to learn, I said, you want to learn? So I taught her how to pick things from the Spirit. If she comes here, she can set this place ablaze. Yes. I pray one day I will bring her up. I said, just kindle a fire here, kindle. So what I'm teaching you, I taught everyone around me. If you stay in my house for 1 year, you will cast out devils. You will know how to... We pray four times. You will learn how to pray. We'll feed you, you eat, but you will pray. Enough food, there'll be food flowing, but prayer will be flowing. Prayer. So that you can take gates, you can humble demons, you can give instructions and you will be obeyed. You've been giving instructions to your family for long. Nothing happened. I can teach you how to be a man of authority. Your preferences, your priorities must be made straight. You must be pure in heart and your hands must be pure. And you must curse every vanity around you and align yourself to Christ as his foot soldier. Your loyalty must be first to him. When you wake up in the morning, you confess how that you are his man for today. You will serve him for today. That if only he can show you what he wants you to do, you will prosecute it without thinking. Tell him that. Every morning, you renew your covenant with him. Then you'll know what it means to be a custodian of true power, true authority. Satan will have to go backwards. Once upon a time, I have a gift. I told you, I see things. So I've seen demons. Most of them look like dogs, monkeys. But I've seen beasts too. Beasts that came to destroy me. And when they came, they could not destroy me. I didn't have any of their property. I saw one and I spoke in tongues for like 35 minutes and he didn't move. And he spoke, but he didn't move the mouth. He spoke through his thoughts and spoke into my thoughts. I said, when we get you, you will not survive. So I now told him, why not now? Get me now. Why are you waiting? He came 9 years later. Because occultists keep time. Demons keep time. Witches keep time. It's only you that doesn't know when to take your journey. You are available every day. Came 9 years later. Oh, you think the things that weakened your father won't look for you? They won't look for you. It's not about saying, well, no, he's Jesus. Are you his servant? Are you loyal to him? Because if you are loyal to him, everything will bow to him. That day when we emphasize loyalty to Jesus has come again. They came to destroy me. We had finished a crusade. And in that village, it is the oracle that gives names to children. And for 6 years, the oracle was mute. So every child from 6 years down was nameless. They were waiting for the time when the oracle would speak again. And we came into the village and preached Christ. And the power of God was so mighty. And they say, the oracle is not as strong as this. So you give our children names now. So part of our job that we did in that village was to give names. And you shall be called Joseph. They were on a long line. Prior to that time, you called them. We gave names to every child 6 years and under. My pastor that was sent into that village as a missionary was the first person that paid bride price. You know bride price? The first. How much? They don't know bride price. I said, no, we pay. The chief had to come and lift up his hands and say, this is the civilization we will follow. The chief. Yes. I've been to villages where they surrender to the whole village. Because I went first to challenge the priest. And he was not as powerful. So they broke the people. So I know what I'm talking about. And I don't say this boastfully, but if I say otherwise, I lied. It's time to wake up. In the name of Jesus. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, first testimony, even the devils were subject to us in your name. You know the word devils in the Greek? It's daimonion. Daimonion is a magistrate. Daimonion are demons that are intellectuals. Demons that are terrible intellectuals. Have you taken time to find out? If you go to Congo, there's a way they bury people. When people die, there's a way they bury them. Is it true? Congo people. Do you know the ritual that is involved in burials in Congo? You don't. You've been here for long. Right, so I'm telling you that there are rituals. But you know what? The intelligence that sets up those rituals is the daimonion. As long as those rituals are going on, there's a ritual behind naming a child. There's a ritual behind the burial. There's a ritual behind marriage. You understand that? As long as those rituals are going on, the daimonion is being worshipped. They institutionalize allegiance to the devil in what we call customs and rituals. Oh, you're not with me. Okay. Because you're not with me, I will stop there. That's number one. The daimonion were subject. You're not with me. So you will labor. When you labor for one more year without knowing how to handle daimonion, when we come back for the next conference, we'll hear your testimony. We'll come back next year.
whether you were able to do damage to them. Because if you are going into the territory, the first gate you will see, the first authority you see is the diamonia. Like I said, you are not interested in that. We'll leave that. So, the next point. That's the first thing that they encounter. The diamonia. The magistrate. The one that sets laws. Oh. You know what they call parliament? Your parliament. That's where the diamonium will stay. It will bend the mind of anyone that is making decisions there. To ensure that what will pass through the parliament is consistent with the way of the magistrate. And as long as you follow it, you are giving honor to the diamonium. It's very intelligent. Oh, you don't understand. Okay, you just... All right, that's number one. Number two. Jesus was the only personality that did not follow them. He sent them, but he stayed back. Is that true? You are not sure? Okay. Because you are not sure again, we will keep that. Amen. Number three. Okay, let's try again. From number one. Let's try again. I was talking about the diamonium, the magistrate, the giver of laws, the establisher of customs, the one that determines what is obtainable, what is right, according to the context. You get that? That was the first person that they had to confront when they were going to establish the kingdom. I told you yesterday, anytime you say thy kingdom come, it's a declaration of war. It's something that you will need to resolve with power, because there will be opposition. Okay, maybe let's take the scripture. Maybe it will make it easier. Acts chapter 6. Now, the technical man should help me quickly. Acts chapter 6, verse 10. Acts chapter 6, verse 10. Quickly. Okay, so that I will not need to... Where is the... Okay, he has gone home. All right. Acts chapter 6. Oh, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Sorry. Are you there? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's stop there. All right? So there's a list, there's a sequence. Are you with me? There's a sequence. Principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in what? Did you get that sequence? So the first question is, in what order of rank were these demons itemized? Is it in descending order or in ascending order? That's my question. Are the principalities the highest or they are the least? If you want to answer the question, you just raise your hand so that we'll be able to trace it to you. Because what I'm hearing here is, oh! Yeah, so, the least, highest, any other answer?
So how many of you say highest? How many of you say least? Okay. For purpose of emphasis, it is in ascending order of rank. The least is the principality. The word principality is a compound word which means prince in a polity. Polity means territory. So they The expertise of the principality is to secure territory where Satan will rule. Right? That you can, like now, you can take up a book. And that book is a book of divination. No, let's say you take up a book. There is one book called The 48 Laws of Power. You know that book? You've read it before? Don't say, oh, you read it before? You like it? Okay. So that book was written by very intelligent wizards. If you check the back, you don't know. Okay. You see, if you don't know, you are a victim of daemonium. Because in modern times, what daemonium does is that they write books. They tell you how to run systems from the perspective of daemonium. They teach you seduction. That is an intelligent compendium of the ways of a warlock. That book. Meanwhile, many of us run churches with prescription of that book. And you don't know that you are running the church with witchcraft principle. You have become a mafia. You have gone far away from the principles of Christ. There's nothing righteous in what you are doing. And so ministry in Africa now looks like mafia. Because that's the book that gives people the perspective on how to function. That's daemonium. Oh, okay. I don't know how. Are you with me? So, there are so many such books on the shelf. And you look at it, their principles are life applicable. It looks as if it can work. And they give you testimonies of where it has worked, who has used it. You know, a time came where the subject microphone preaching topics are motivation. Right? That's preaching without reference. It's the unlocking of the latent power of the soul. That's nothing to do with the spirit. Things like dream big. That's utopian. You're not with me. The man that was a dreamer in the Bible, even Joseph, it was God that was giving him, impregnating him with dreams. You will begin with your own soul to dream. That's daemonium, trying to reset your soul and to bend your mind and to give you a vision which is apart from Christ. And many of you say, okay, oh my God, my pastor is good. The first thing you will confront when you go for Jesus is daemonium. Because they are at the gates of people's thinking. Their minds have been bent to accept things that are true, but yet not truth. Oh, how many of you remember Acts chapter 16? That lady with a spirit of divination. The things she said were true. But there's a difference between true and truth. She said, "These are the servants of the Most High God that show true." But truth is a spirit. And if the witness does not come from that spirit, even though it is true, it will lead to deception. And that lady was doing something like prophecy. And when we go into true and truth, because there is no doctrine, no scriptural verse with which you could check that lady and say what she was saying was not prophecy. So you need more than doctrine to check her. That's where the boys and the men are separated. What she said was true. But it was not truth that was speaking. And many of you will hear true and we embrace it. Meanwhile, the spirit that is speaking is Python. Because if you check divination, check it in Greek, it's Python. It's serpentine. So many people have been taught by Diamonium. And it was true. That's why we lost our discernment. And the moment we lost our discernment, someone can come from as a diviner and become a pastor. Because there's no discernment again. He can do lying wonders and false miracles. And they will celebrate him and worship him. Even the Diamonium, they were subject to us in your name. So principality is the first. Powers, next. A power has an ability. A power has what? Because when a principality secures a ground, maybe you read a book of divination. And it was interesting because it was mysterious. You didn't know that every chapter you read was a covenant that you were entering into with the spirit of divination. And by the time you finish the book, you are already a victim. You have created a pathway of access. So the spirit of divination can speak to you in your dreams, convince you that your pastor is bad, show you that he has claws. Meanwhile, it's the spirit of divination. And then you will believe it. I see him flying. Oh, you guys have been, you have been studying physics and chemistry for long. You don't know the spirit world. Oh my God. You see him flying. Meanwhile, it started when the person read that book. But you see, principalities cannot keep you under the dominion of darkness for long. They will need stronger spirits to help secure the ground. So that principality goes and invites a power. A power has a unique ability. Like a power, one of the most common powers is called fear. So fear now comes, uses the same channel that the principality has secured, and then it comes in the night and say, if don't go there, don't go to that church, don't go there, don't go there. Then you see, what you will see in your dream is a priest wearing white garment. I say, don't go there. You say, I had a revelation. Jesus appeared to me. And he said that I should not go there. Never dreamt like this before, but it seems God is beginning to help me with visions. And then somebody now comes and prevails on you to come. Against your will, you just come. And when the power of God is revealed, you are the release, they are the first person manifesting, because that principality that is holding your soul begins to react against the power of God. Now, I just said all of this to show you that in terms of terrestrial forces, the highest ranking terrestrial demonic entity is the Diamonium, the ruler. The highest ranking demonic entity is the spiritual wickedness, but they are not terrestrial. They are astral. You get that? Are you with me? So those ones are in heavenly places. They are astral. And if you check the scope of our authority, the scope of our dominion, you can go to the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 and you will see our dominion, the scope. Man is to have dominion over the fowls of the air. That is atmospheric, not astral. Exactly. Over the things that creep upon the earth and over the fish of the sea. So we have dominion over the fish, aquatic, terrestrial, atmospheric, not astral. So the astral realm is beyond our pay grade. It's beyond the scope of our dominion. Are you with me? You are not with me. Now. In spiritual warfare, you stay within your jurisdiction. If you go beyond your jurisdiction, you are likely to come down with a mental challenge. I will stop there. I won't go. Many good, my friends, many good of them. Good men, my friends, many of them have died. Because of jurisdiction. So the one that is using the phone will come and continue the lecture from him. There's someone that believes if the phone is better than me. So in view of that, meanwhile, we need you to come forward. Who is that one with the phone? Please. Come and take over. You have something to share with us. Can you admit you are the one first before we know how to help you? If you are the one, admit first. So switch off the phone. Switch it off. Okay. Now, listen, listen. Check your phone again. Check. Check again. Because you have set me back now in the spirit. I assure you, if I were in Africa, I would have stopped preaching today. You know why? I'm new. This is my first time of coming here. Next year, I will stop. When you come to the cantonment, it's only Jesus that is the Lord there. No man. And you need to get used to atmospheres where Jesus is king. You've been too big, too large. It's because this is my first visit. The next visit, I would just go. Then that person will continue. And not just go and home. I will go away. Go to Heathrow. I'm looking for people that are hungry for God. If there are no hungry people here, I will move to Switzerland and continue the lecture. I will not have gone all over Europe before the fire will begin to spark. I have no time to waste with people that have no desire for God. I will go to Canada, go to the United States, crying. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Some people will hear my voice and will begin to pray and to ask God to have mercy upon nations. If it's next year, I will walk away and go to Heathrow. And for 3 years, I won't come back. I'll go to Ireland, the land, they are crying. This is the time. It's time for revival. One man can drive Jesus away. You are not aware of that. One man. You have not been where he is king. You've been operating where human beings matter. You don't know that place where only Jesus matters. I came to teach you about that place. Meanwhile, if you are offended at what I'm saying, I have no apology. No. This Satan is about to take over nations. And in that day, even if you cry, nothing will change. People will be killed and it will be lawful. Blood will be shed. No one will blink. This little window of grace we have must be utilized. The days of half measures and talk is over. So, it's over. Are you there? All right. Let's try again. I said, territorially, the highest ranking demonic entity is the ruler. That's the daimonion, the magistrate. He tries to attempt to be the one that would call the shots in the territory and define the rules as to how life is lived. But they were the first ones to be displaced when the authority was manifested in the territory. Part of what God will do is that there are people here that he will give grace. Yes, I'm sure of what I'm talking about. And the daimonion will be subject to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. That was the first feedback that came. And you too will have the same testimony. The second feedback that came was that Jesus did not go with them to the field. He sent them and he stayed back in the field, in the control room. Are you with me? So when they came with their own testimonies that the daimonion was subject to them in the name of Jesus, Jesus told them his own testimony that I saw Satan like lightning fall from heaven. Where did he fall from? Heaven. So Jesus dealt with spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places, and they dealt with terrestrial forces on the field. Did you get that? Now, don't try to bind anything in the heavenlies. If you do that, you have gone out of your jurisdiction. It means you don't understand the scope of your authority. And you have opened yourself up to attacks that you cannot handle. Jesus was the one in the control room. He said, the reason why you succeeded on the field is because of this matter here. Something happened in the studio. I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Satan in your city. This is a prophecy. Listen to me. It will come to pass in the city of Birmingham. I know you understand the terrain and the stronghold. It's a stronghold of the sons of the bondwoman. But Satan in this city shall fall. When you see this sign, know that it is at the doors. The sons of the bondwoman will be coming to the Lord in their numbers. That's why I counsel anyone who is a pastor in the city. Don't look at, okay, somebody else wants to preach. Oh. We have a new preacher in the congregation. I'm waiting for the preacher to own up first before we. Now, listen. Pastors in the land, it doesn't matter the number of people you pastor, right? Maybe 30, maybe 40, and you are looking at the 40 and it's discouraging you. Remove your eyes. Build capacity. Build capacity for nations. Because Satan in your city will fall like lightning from heaven. Amen. Not too long from now, you will begin to see sons. It will be like a pandemic. Sons of the bondwoman will be running to Christ. And if you have prepared yourself in that season, you provide covering. It's going to happen in your city. That's the first thing I saw when I came here. That Jesus will set foot over this land. Satan will fall like lightning. It's when Jesus had told them his own testimony. You know, before this, he gave them power. He said, go and do this. When they came back and testified that daimonia was subject, and Jesus said the reason why they were subject was because wickedness in the third heavens fell. When they knew the whole story, Jesus began to give them equipment again, afresh. He said, behold, I give unto you power. Has he not given them power before? He gave them power before. But there's another level of power that he gave the functionaries that went to the field and came back with the testimony. There is a level of equipment that will not come to you if you have not gone for Jesus yet. Most of you went, but you have not come back. You went and disappeared. But when you come back with a testimony, this is how far I have gone. See, you came back? Okay. I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions. And upon all the power of the enemy. The first he gave them power over was the serpent And just like I told you, the serpent, that's a metaphor. And the explanation of that metaphor is in the book of Acts chapter 16, verse 16. When that lady, taken with the spirit of divination, and I told you in Greek is python, serpent. So serpent equals divination. Divination is the arm of the kingdom of darkness that holds what we call the knowledge bank. Knowledge. Somebody say knowledge. In the community where I'm a missionary, if people die, they go to consult a spirit to know what killed them. Because they believe that human beings are limited in knowledge. Only spirits can give perspective about issues. So when you see people exploring the kingdom of darkness for insight, they are trying to enter into the economy of knowledge. And that is held in the arm of the kingdom of darkness that is governed by divination. Is that clear? Then we have power. The arm of the kingdom of darkness that holds the power of darkness is what we call witchcraft. And that's the scorpion. How many of you know the scorpion? Have you ever experienced the travail of that sting? Never. So you don't know how it sounds. You don't know how it feels. Okay. How many of you have felt this thing? There's no scorpion in the United Kingdom. In Africa. Okay, there's no one. There's no scorpion here. Okay, you have not seen it. Okay. There's a creature called scorpion, for your information. It has an interesting tail. And if it touches you with that tail, as big as you are, you will cry. And when you look at what touched you, you wonder where that energy, how he could store that energy in that little thing. That's how witchcraft is. It's the arm of darkness that causes injury. Jesus is saying, as you go for me, you will see divination. You will see witchcraft. There was a third one that Jesus didn't mention there. He only mentioned serpents and scorpions. Knowledge and power. It is when Philip the evangelist now went to Samaria that he now saw the third arm, which is sorcery. And sorcery is the wisdom arm of the kingdom of darkness. So we are going to meet knowledge. You are going to meet power. And you are going to meet wisdom. All from the kingdom of darkness. And if the daimonion falls, the wisdom of darkness will fall. If you are aligned with God. Many of you here, witchcraft has touched you. Most of what you call your health condition is a touch from the sting of the tail. Are you with me? But the same way the daimonion fell, witchcraft will fall. Divination will fall. Sorcery will fall. And all the resistance to the knowledge of Christ will give way. And God will profit from the land. You are going to be the agency through which God is going to profit from the land. In the name of Jesus. So tonight, maybe you are a victim of the scorpion. And there is a health situation. You've checked your blood pressure. It's just going up. They say, stop taking salt. You stop taking salt. It's going up. Oh, sugar level. Say carbohydrate must go down. You stopped eating carbohydrate. You are now a vegetarian. But it has not helped. And you don't know that it is not natural. It is a scorpion. Today, the power of the scorpion is going to fall in our midst. Maybe someone took your name to an intelligent person that possesses the wisdom of darkness to bring injury to you. And then you notice that a drought began to come on your finances. You work hard. But the harder you work, something is working against you. And the thing that is working against you is intelligent. It's wise. And for many of us, he took advantage of COVID. And now it's as if you are a rolling stone. The wisdom of darkness will fail this evening. The way we will begin our proceedings as we shift into practicals is to pray. First prayer point is this. Jesus says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he might send laborers into his harvest. Are you ready to pray? That nations like China, God will raise men that will go into China, go into India, Australia, New Zealand, Solomon Island. Oh Lord of the harvest, send laborers. Choose from among us tonight men that you will release into the harvest of the nations. Can you cry now? Can you cry? Can you cry? Can you cry to him? Can you cry? Oma Salemone Brasketomina Kabali Sonsaita Sala la 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 Babroke Salikos Kemon Sanda Baboria Shamena Lombre da Babu Seki.
Ah, yeah.
Jesus. Second prayer point, can you ask him, Lord, send me. Send me, I'm willing. I'm ready. I'm ready to go for your name, to witness to your resurrection. Send me. Send me. God has spoken a word over your life. He wants to bring profit to his kingdom. Send me. Kobena ikoskelo mansanda. Yekosketo bregede. Mantosila. Makabela monzaya. Zekilo keprosketo manteli. Sei con balato si risco felema risco bendomoco bracateli e mamma santa baboria. Send me. I am ready. I want to serve your will. I want to bring you glory. You have been faithful in my life. You have been faithful to me. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Third point. Many of you, God has begun to
He has begun to speak to you. You see dreams, but you don't understand it. You see visions, but it's not clear. You cannot trust it. Can you ask that God will make you understand his mode of communication over your life? He's been speaking volumes, but you are unable to connect with what he's communicating. Can you ask that, Lord, make your communication clear? Let there be clarity. Clarity. Sabokoli Masanteli. Yento Selimokoria Basatala. Mesko se salabonda maske labri. Esuse la maseli mokoria. Iemo seli mokore baba santo. Iemo saita kobelame. Bresko pelama. Yaba boseke. Ika masanda baboria. Yeko seni bakate baboria. Maskande mazie. Oh my God. Ahaye. Clarity in the spirit. Clarity in the spirit. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Before we proceed, there are people in this congregation that need to repent. God gave you an opportunity. There are even some he gave opportunities twice and they wasted it. If you are in that category where you are, just bow your head and begin to repent. He will show mercy. For some of you, your life has come to a standstill because you were not loyal to him. You can repent now. The people that I'm talking about, they know themselves. This will be an opportunity for you to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry for squandering your resources, your grace, your mercy over my life. Some of you are victims of terrible relationships that you allowed, even though God gave you the signal that nothing good was going to come out of it, but you felt you waited for so long and you're in the wilderness again. Can you repent and say, Lord, have mercy? Have mercy. Have mercy. I know you love me. I know you have squandered so many resources. You have protected me. Many times when I was in the evil day, you saw me out. You saw me through. Led me out from destruction. I am willing to go for you. Only have mercy. Just have mercy. I will not fail you again. I will not fail you again. I'll walk with you. I'll take advantage of the privileges you make available to me. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Some of you are living in outright compromise. You will need to tell the Lord, I walk away tonight. I walk away tonight. I'm ready to face uncertainty so that I can come into alignment with you. I walk away. I receive masculinity to walk away. Strength to choose you and to walk away. This is a time for you to commune with the Lord, not to look at the preacher. It's a moment to commune with him, to cut covenant with him, and to receive his peace on your heart so that you can journey with him. He restores peace this moment. He restores assurance and confidence this moment. He will cause you again to go for him, to stand for him, and to represent him. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Now, before I pray for the sick, which is what we will do after this time out, those of you that are willing to go for Jesus, just put your right hand on your chest. He will visit you now. He will come to you. Can you say to him, Lord, equip me with power to go forth in your name? I want to pray for you now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are all standing before you as a congregation, willing to go for you, willing to serve you, willing to be given an opportunity to be a witness of your resurrection. We ask that you have mercy on us in previous times where we did not meet up with your expectations. And for those of us that have wandered through the darkness of sin, we receive the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us. Now, once again, we ask that it might please you to endow us with your power, with your grace. Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you. So he has heard. Leave your hand on your chest if you are still praying with me. If you are not praying with me, just remove your hand. Don't worry. Father, in the name of Jesus. Listen. Listen. There are like 12 people I see. 12 people that I see. Jesus is going to commission you tonight. There is a grace that will come upon you. It will become so strong. So strong. So strong. So strong. It will come on you at the count of 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. 7, 8. Coming stronger. It's consolidating it. It's confirming it. 9, 10, 11, 12. That reality. And 2 of them will be anointed now. Father, those ones that will drink of the stream of a major gift of prophecy, find them. Find them. Find them. Find them. It's a strong weapon. It's a strong weapon. Pastor Lawson, how old is that lady? Find out, find out, find out. Because I'm seeing a small person, a young person that God will anoint. And I want to know. She's 17. No. What I'm seeing is from like 15, from like 13, 12 down. There's someone like that will be caught up in the flame. And that person is going to be a great minister of the gospel. Lord, grant unto these ones that you have imparted the ability to recognize spiritual words, to interpret spiritual things. In the name of Jesus. I'm seeing something opening. It's opening. Okay. So the angel touches me here now. It means there are two people who is anointing. There are two people. Two people. The anointing will come on you suddenly. There are two people to come on you suddenly. Suddenly. It's anointing me too. So yeah, it's anointing you. It's showing me what it's doing to you. Yes, can you bring that person? Bring that one. You will walk for him. You will live for him. And he will take care of you. Lord, show me the second one. Okay, it's coming. Let your hand be strong on the second one. Come, I need to pray. Let her work for you. Let her do your will. Can you shake me? All right, so lay your hands on her. Before I start praying for the sick, I need to look for that child. 12 years, 13 years thereabout. 12, 10, 11, thereabout. How are you? How many of you are 12? 12, 13? Okay, all of you, 12, 13, 10, 12, 13. Come. Are you so many? Come. Where are they? Yeah, just stay close to me. 12, 10, 13. Quickly. 12 from verse, from 13, 12, 11, all of you. 10 to 13. Okay. How are you? Amen. One of you is going to be used by God. So I called you to find out. Okay? Father, can we pray? No, not all of you. Those of you here, can you hear me? You want God to use you? All right. So if you want God to use you, ask him. Use me. Pray now. And mean it from your heart. How old is he? 5. All right. You? 13, huh? Come close. Ask the Lord to use you.
Ask him. Talk to him. You are not praying.
This lady is not up to 10. Is she up to 10? No, you are not up to 10.
Keep praying. Keep praying. Tell the Lord to use you.
Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I brought all the children. I don't know which one you were referring to. But you can help me. By touching that one. You can help me by laying your hand upon that one so that I will know the one that you speak of.
Fill that one with your power. Let your glory descend as I touch them. Show me which one you have chosen. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, I decree that you will be God's messenger. Hey, the hand of the Lord will rest upon you. In your dreams, Jesus will come to you. He will hold you. You will be a healing evangelist. Moving from nation to nation to proclaim the counsel of God. I bless you. I shield you from the enemy. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. In the name of Jesus. Yes, you can go back to your seat. All right. I've never seen someone that worships like you. Lord bless your servant in the name of Jesus. Increase our ministry. Now listen, all of you. The Lord will anoint maybe, I think, at least one of you. At least. As a sign that your ministry as a choir in this conference has touched his heart. So he will anoint. Father, I feel the angel touching me. So, Lord, show me a sign. Show me a sign. Stop praying. Stop praying in tongues. Don't worry. Just wait for you. He will come to you. Show a sign. 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 The hand of God is becoming stronger. It's becoming stronger. Show a sign. Show a sign. Show a sign. Show a sign. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you brought a sick person, this is the moment. I will live long enough to see this young boy become a preacher. I will live long enough. I see you moving from nations in Asia. And I'll live long enough to see it.
Now listen to me. If you have anything, a condition that has to do with your lungs, your breathing, your nostrils, this is your night. The Lord will touch you. He will correct things. He will change things. Some things will vanish. Those of you that have medical reports, you have scans, you have all that stuff. When we are done with this healing, you go healing service, go back and you will see that the things that were on the first scan will not be on the second scan. Put your hand where that sickness is now. For 3 days, the fire of God will be burning on your vessel. 3 days. If you have an eye condition, put your hands on your eyes. There's a pain below your abdomen. Just put your hand where the pain is. There's a fibroid, a growth. Maybe there's a medical condition that is very difficult to pronounce the name of the condition. Just lay your hand on your chest. Lay your hand on your chest. Lord Jesus, I want to take away a weight from your life. There's a weight. You are carrying a weight. So we take that weight away. We'll take it away. Put your hand where the sickness is. There's a cancer growing. We can attack it now. Oh my God. Oh my God. There is someone in the congregation that is chained. It's a demonic chain. So God wants to remove that chain now. Father, in the name of Jesus, that one that is chained, that one that is chained, that one that is chained. So bring that one that is chained. In the name of Jesus, loose her. Loose her. Loose her. Loose her. Where is the usher? Don't run away. Come. Okay, put your hand here. I speak in tongues. Okay, speak in tongues. Be loosed from the chain. Don't stop speaking in tongues. Don't stop. Put your hand where the pain is, where the growth is, where the sickness is. It will disappear in a few seconds. See, demons are contending. Bakayetomina. Satan has lost it this night. Loser! In Jesus' name. Father, tonight, I say in Jesus' name. Amen. See, when you say an amen loud, I'll be able to see someone's condition. Just like I saw now, there's someone, it's difficult for you to fall asleep. When you sleep and something wakes you up, to go back to sleep is almost impossible. Where are you? Come quickly. I'm already out of time. It's a demon. Lose him. Yes, go. You'll sleep this night. See, don't just realize that you were supposed to come out. I only pray once. If I call a case and you are thinking of yourself and you are not thinking of what we are doing, I will not pray twice for one issue. But this is the first time I'm saying it. So come. Don't stroll in and just say, okay, yeah, like, we want to check out. Well, you know, it won't work. It won't work. Okay? No. Don't forget yourself and remember yourself suddenly. Don't remember yourself suddenly. If I mention it, don't come at your own convenience. No, I will not come.
Lord, let her be released. Loose her, Satan. Let this young man be released in the name of Jesus. Lose him. Lose him. Lose him. Lose him. I say, lose him. Okay. Say compelling a sick. You can't stay on him. You can't stay on him. Lose him. In the name of Jesus. Give him one seat there. It will take 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. And he'll be free. In the name of Jesus. Someone in the congregation, you'll be losing money. I mean, you'll keep money somewhere. When you go check what you kept, it will be short of what you kept. Where are you? It will be short of what you kept. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. And what's your story?
I just have money in my account, but then when I get back, it will...
Yes?
I put money in the house and they lose it. I keep money, it just disappears.
Yes. Now, okay, now that I've tossed three of you, the Lord will start working. Father, in the name of Jesus, I reverse this protocol. I reverse the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now we end the errand of the thief. In the name of Jesus, we put an end to the work of the thief. We put an end to the work of the thief. We put an end to the work of the thief in the name of Jesus. We turn around. Everything that was stolen from you, let it be restored in the name of Jesus. Situations that we're supposed to profit from, that were stolen from you, I call for restoration in the name of Jesus. Go back. Finally, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I see somebody in a condition where when this condition starts, it is difficult for you to breathe. Difficult for you to breathe. You struggle with your breath. And from what I see, you were under the influence of that condition like 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. When it comes on you, it's difficult for you to breathe. Where is the person I'm talking about? Breathing condition. Like 2 weeks ago, you had the attack. So can you explain your condition?
Yeah, I'm not able to breathe. And I've had it for years. I was diagnosed with it as a child.
Don't worry. Okay, he said, you have a diagnosis. What I'm seeing is a devil, it's a demon. It's like a monkey. You know, the doctor studied for 6 years. When you go there, they will use it. Something, touch here. Write a long name. This is... Jesus never required a diagnosis to heal. He called it a spirit of infirmity. Now this lady is about to be healed for life. Maybe I can use this to teach you about demons and deliverance. I'll use her healing to teach you about deliverance. So your spirit is like a
One bedroom apartment can contain only one occupant. And your spirit was not designed for devils, because you were created in the image of God. So even if a man is possessed, the environment is not conducive for the devil, because it was not designed for the devil. And so there's nobody that can be 100% possessed, no matter how lunatic they may behave. They can be delivered. Exactly. But when you are born again, God occupies the one bedroom apartment. But demons can stay on your body. Demons can operate from your mind. Do you understand that? So it means the person is, that means the person is demonized. It's an aspect of the person's life that is not under his control. And the doctors can have a name for it. I like them. They are working with us. They're not working against us. Hallelujah. So sometimes their diagnosis, okay, so we'll call, okay, he has a name. Did they give a name to this thing?
Yeah, asthmatic.
What? Oh, asthma.
Asthma, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
So the name is asthma. That's what the doctor said. But I'm going to show you it's a demon. Now. Hallelujah. So ask God to heal you. Don't worry, the healing service is on. Just be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Patient. Okay, you are said. Okay, let me pray now. Asthma. In Jesus' name, let her go. Asthma, hear me. In the name of Jesus, release this lady now. In Jesus' name. Now, this is asthma now. You will see asthma. Leave her. Leave her. From the crown of her head to the soles of her feet to her chest. Leave her. This is asthma. We are not, wait, give them, allow them, she must do something like, oh, wait, you are, go, wait, I'm teaching, just leave, give us space. Now, this is, the demon has been arrested. You know when they say a demon is arrested, this is it. Okay, now, since you want to walk, here. sorry. I'm a strong teacher. Huh? Okay, put your hands on her chest. That's where the demon is. Command it to come out. Her chest. Say asthma. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Say it again. Last time, say it again. Now asthma will come out. Lose her. So asthma has gone out. Now, wait. I'm still teaching. There's something they use called an inhaler. You'll find out that from today she will not need an inhaler. So bring her up. Let me. Aha, you are free. Go. Hold this one. Asthma. Go. Never come back. Never return. In the name of Jesus. You are free. So that thing called asthma, you won't see it again. Meanwhile, in among doctors of medicine, professors of medicine, I showed them that asthma was not sick. Forever in your life, you are free. Yeah, you are free. So if you want to clap for Jesus, this is the time. You know,
Hallelujah. I was telling you that the only thing that will stop me from going to the city center to begin to pray for the blind is because they might arrest me. If not, the way to do it is we'll just go for practical outside. Not here. We'll have this one. Pray for 2 hours here. Go outside. Just look for people that are in trouble. And there'll be a stare in this city. But the principalities will come out. And I can end up in prison. So. But we'll look for a way. We'll look for it. We'll look. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So put your hand where that pain is now, where that sickness is. I will just pray for the next 5 minutes. And I'll be gone. Father, in the name of Jesus, I arrest every sickness. I arrest every sickness. Every pain. Every disease. Every infirmity. I arrest you in the name of Jesus. I arrest you in the name of Jesus. I break your yoke in the name of Jesus. I speak to paralysis. Paralysis, hear my voice. In the name of Jesus, I arrest you. I break your yoke. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I command every sickness, go in the name of Jesus. I command the pains to go in the name of Jesus. Loose them. Loose them. Release them. Release them. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You see, so the devil is beginning to loose them now. I command the pains to go. Let your sight be restored in the name of Jesus. Let your hearing be restored in the name of Jesus. Let your breathing be restored in the name of Jesus. I command the pain below the abdomen, go in the name of Jesus. I curse that migraine. I say, go in the name of Jesus. Set and loose your hold. Loose your hold. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before I pray for the congregation and run away, I will take one testimony. Just one. Because of time. If you notice a condition on your life has changed, this is where to start. God helping us will still be here next year. God helping us. But make sure you learn how to switch on your phone. There is a red place on your phone. If you press it long enough, it will be switched on. Hallelujah. If you notice a change, come here. Come here. Come here. If there's a change, come. If there's a change, come. All right, let's hear her out.
My chest feels absolutely clear. I've never felt this clear before. I didn't even know.
The chest feels clear. Now, like I told you, asthma is not sickness. And I can prove it anywhere. You know, I told you, once upon a time, I was with before professors of medicine. And I told them, asthma is not sickness. I have proof. And I proved it. So they don't know how. It's not what I did. They said, what I did is not medicine. But it worked. They don't understand it. But they cannot deny the effect. If you test it in the lab, it's true. The person is. If it's true healing, if we pray for you, go to the lab, do the x-ray, you will see that the organ has been replaced. If you have an organ that is dying, that needs replacement,
Or maybe there's something growing that should not be there. By the time you leave this conference, 2 weeks after you leave this conference, go check if that thing growing is still alive. Check. Check if the cancer is still growing. Check if the lump is still alive. She said her chest is free. Jesus sent me to you. Will you serve him? Lord, she says she will serve you. He also takes away the heavy burden that you have been carrying. Now that you have walked around in circles, and the people that you love rejected you, he sees that. He says, I should tell you, abide in me. Depend on me. You cannot bear fruit of yourself except you abide in me. Because I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Says the Lord to you. Amen. All right. I want to bless you before I leave. Let us pray. Oh Lord. I see someone healed on the back. You came here with a pain on your back and you are healed. And I'm waiting for that person. You came with a pain on your back. The pain has gone. So if you are the one, show me a sign. Okay, don't worry. Those people that I met this morning and I told you to come in the evening, I don't know where you are sitting. Where are you? Come now. Come. I met you this morning. Okay. I strengthen you and I break the yoke. You are fortified in the name of Jesus. If anyone rises to fight you, it falls for your sake. Go. For you are covered in the name of Jesus. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, let the flames of Jesus burn. Let the fires of glory descend upon you so strong. I kindle the flame of Jehovah. You are healed already. Lord, in the name of Jesus, give her a miracle. Give her a miracle. A miracle. A miracle. A miracle. Yes. In this thy might, the Lord will surprise you. In Jesus' name. It is written that any tree that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted out. So I root out this tree in the name of Jesus. I root it out. Listen to me. I break your yoke and I release him. Lord, he wants to serve you. Give him an opportunity. And as he falls in line, take away the yoke. Do through him in 2 years what he has not been able to achieve in 5. The Lord will surprise you. Every tree that the Lord has not planted must be rooted out.
You are rooted out. In the name of Jesus. Your son will wake up one day and you begin to see recovery. Don't worry. You are rooted out. Oh my God. You were shot. I said you were shot with an arrow. I'm telling him. Now, I will do something as I'm led. Do you allow me? Okay, so I neutralize the arrow now. Let life be restored to your left hand. In the name of Jesus. Lift it up. You can't. Try. Put it down. Just obey me. Can you obey me? Okay. Raise this hand up. Put it down. Lift it up again. Do it 7 times. And you will gain control of it again. How many times now? 5. Okay. 6, 7. Close it. I did. Do that 7 times too. That's 1. Follow me. 1. Close. Open. Yeah. Open. Okay, you can't hear what I'm saying. The arrow has gone, and you will see tomorrow your use of the hand will be better than today. Next tomorrow it will be better than next. So the arrow has gone, okay? Lord, in the name of Jesus, I empower, let the limitations be removed. And let your daughters step into their destiny. Every tree that our Heavenly Father has not planted must be rooted out. Go. Your son will wake up one day and you'll begin to see that the abilities he didn't have, he's beginning to have. Be patient with him. He'll be restored. Oh, this is your wife? Skebolanti. Okay. Yes. Go and test it now and come back. Go and test it. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Yoke, break. Satan, let her go. Let her go. Loose. Pastor Dennis, put your hand here. Loose. You've been carrying a heavy body. Loose her. Lose her, Satan. You can't stay. I say, lose her. Let her go. In the name of Jesus. Kabina sole. Ebro kapai la kopema. Oh my God. Lose her. Lose her. Okay. Just bring it up to me. Okay. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I uproot what you have not planted. I uproot it. In the name of Jesus. 14 days. Go and do the scan again. Yes. Now, you spirit of anxiety, hear me. Let this vessel go. I break the hold of fear in your heart. I release you. Let there be peace in your soul. In the name of Jesus. Go and think first. Go and think. I uproot what the Lord has not planted in your life in the name of Jesus. Go. You will see what I told you. I see Jesus healing you. I don't need to pray for you. The healing will continue for 3 days. On the third day in the evening, you won't say that anymore. It's a guarantee. You can take it to the bank. Can I bless you before I run away? What was wrong with your back?
I've been having pain for over a year now, and it goes and comes back for the past 2 days, just came back.
Okay, so when we prayed, what happened?
And the pain went away.
The pain went away?
Yes.
All right. It is permanent in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord is on you. My sister from Romania, the Lord is on you. Even before you came out here, I started dealing with what we discussed. Believe him, okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, we give you praise. Can you give him thanks? Oh, my God. Your voice will be heard, your voice. I don't know, but you touched God today. I don't know what you did, but your voice will be heard. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you praise. We magnify your name. And I ask, O God, that your strong hand might be upon your people. That blessings and grace might rest upon them. In the name of Jesus. So if you are a minister of the gospel, you can come. Let's agree together. If you are a minister of the gospel, where is the usher? Can you hold this?
Yes. Connect to
that. Okay. Minister of the gospel, you can connect. Can we receive what God wants to release into the territory? We stand as a council of elders and we receive what you are releasing into this territory. We receive the revival. We receive the awakening. We receive the quickening that you are releasing into the territory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We receive it. We receive it. Imo sela mantalaba. Ego barabasuke. Brasketorio. Meza zigalad. Brokotominakad. We receive it in the name of Jesus. Monsela iko. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right, the Lord is going to anoint one or two of us as a sign that he has heard us. Lord, if you have heard us, show us a sign. Let the anointing descend on two of your ministers as a sign. Holy Ghost, show a sign. Show a sign. Show a sign. Show a sign.
Show a sign. Show a sign. Holy Ghost. Show a sign. Okay, it comes even stronger. Oh my. Baute escobe laminaya. Combre evese telomporotoski. Yes, that anointing that will be needed for us to bear witness for you in the land. What we've been seeking, what we've been fasting about. May it please you to release it tonight. Oh yes, show a sign, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Because it begins afresh. It begins afresh. A new order of priesthood that can move your hand over the land, over the lives of men, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It will never be the same for us. It will never be the same for our ministries. In the name of Jesus. Any minister of the gospel that is under attack, we cover you with prayers right now. Amen. We cover you with prayers right now. Amen. We discomfit your enemy right now. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, if you are sick in your body, you've been sick for years. We banish that sickness. Amen. We cast it out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go in this thy might with authority and with power. Amen. Do damage to the kingdom of darkness. Amen. And there is a guarantee that nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.